If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Exciting edition of The Thought Police, and we are now in what, week 3 of the election campaign. I'm Mike Graham, you are
Kevin O'Sullivan,
and you know, it's still a shit show, isn't it?
It's a shit show, and
but it's a Sunak shit show.
Yeah, it's a Sunak.
Is he trying to lose the election, do you think?
Well, that's what, look, that's to give him too much credit. A lot of people are looking at this fucking car crash of a campaign and going, he must be doing this on purpose.
Right, somebody's paying him.
I think the tragedy from Rishi Sunak's point of view and the absolute fucking bunch of losers that he calls advisors,
yes,
is they're not doing this on purpose. They are just catastrophically useless.
Yeah.
He's catastrophically useless.
They just can't relate to people, can they?
No.
It's incredible. I mean, I actually heard somebody today saying it, which we've all said before, of course, that's nothing new, but the problem with politicians is they're fucking weird.
Yeah.
They're all weird. They're
not normal
people. They've never been normal people. In a way, it doesn't matter what amount of money they've got. It doesn't matter what their parents did, what they did before. The fact that they're politicians makes them fucking strange.
Yeah.
And they don't relate to people.
Yeah.
They can't get on with people.
Well, it used to be the old trick questions from the political correspondents to politicians were, you know, what's the price of a pint of milk?
Right.
How much is a pound of potatoes? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've got to admit, I couldn't answer those fucking questions. I'll just go into supermarkets and
how much is all of that?
And they go, okay. Right. Anyway, so that was one trick.
And while you step out of the way while the guy with all the wine bottles rushes out the shop because he's just stolen everything.
Yeah, yeah. There's 2 pints of milk and a loaf of bread. Are you sure that's 156 quid? But seriously, so you'd ask them those questions, and the other trick questions were name 3 characters from Coronation Street.
Right.
So their divorced nature from the rest of us used to be they never watch television, they don't watch the soaps, they don't go for a pint in the pub.
And popular culture,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, 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 shit at popular culture.
Yeah.
Well, I think that stays true for this election campaign. But with Rishi Sunak, it is that. And he's also clueless about everything else as well. So this fucking fact that he thinks, the Normandy Beach D-Day Memorial. Yeah, sorry about it.
Yeah, ran over a bit.
The fact that he thinks that, A, he can apologise for it and we'll all go, fair enough.
Makes mistake.
Yeah,
it was a mistake,
I'm sorry. You know, and B, that he can get away with telling that bloke, Paul Brand from ITV, sorry, I'm a bit late, it ran over all those fucking veterans.
What a nightmare, yeah.
Yeah, those 100-year-old veterans, fucking ceremonies that go on forever.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, talk about boring.
Yeah, really, sorry, I had to keep me
waiting.
They
ran over.
So hang on, what sort of a fucking moron in this day and age does an interview on Thursday that doesn't run until fucking Wednesday? Who does that? Because not only is the interview out of date, it doesn't cover the fact that he missed the biggest fucking scandal so far of his campaign was that he admitted to fucking making a mistake and walking away from D-Day, which presumably isn't in the interview because he didn't know it was a big deal until Friday. Because on Thursday, he thought it was fine. And on Thursday, he thought he was late because it had run over a bit.
Yeah, and ITV's ace reporter, Paul Brand, really picked up on that.
Oh, well done, Paul.
Yeah, well done, Paul. You didn't get the Normandy Beach angle, did
Paul
you?
Paul should have said, you know, why the fuck did you leave D-Day early to come and talk to me?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know... It would have been a great question.
Yeah.
I said, you know, you should have gone, flattered though I am, that you left that very important ceremony to be with me. Why the fuck did you do that?
I know. Absolutely unbelievable. Although I see Joe Biden been getting some shit for it as well, because he had to leave after we had that rather bizarre piece of footage. Did you see where he was
trying
like,
to sit down on the chair?
He was trying to sit down on an imaginary chair. Either that or, as somebody said to me, he shit himself.
You know?
But he had to be fucking led around by the nose, practically, by fucking Jill Biden, his wife.
It is getting ridiculous.
We had to rush back at one point to see to whether Hunter Biden was going to get put in fucking jail before she came back in again. But he's been getting some flack because he apparently was so out of it that they had to take him out of the way. Because he was fucking embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, also, but with Biden, far be it me to make excuses for him, but you have to...
at least he's senile.
He made the effort to be there, and then he fucked it up because he's too old, and he always does. He's senile.
Did you see that amazing footage of him turning around?
Yeah.
Where he fucking turns around, and then so Macron, because he's trying to be polite, starts to turn around. It's like a comedy sketch. They all turn around and look the other way.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what they're fucking looking at.
I'll tell you. And then he goes back to Washington this week, the Juneteenth. Celebrations.
God, yeah.
I mean, and
he's frozen.
Well, yeah, and also the speech. He actually took leave of the English language.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the sentence. He went, I'm American. You know, I mean, literally, I mean, that's not an exaggeration.
He just rolls all the words together.
Well, you're not on your hand and you're
he takes all the consonants out and then puts all the words together. Apparently
that slightly slurry way he was speaking was an antidote to his lifelong stuttering problem, which he, to all intents and purposes, for the last, you know, since his middle ages, completely got rid of.
Yeah.
But now... that he's losing his marbles, it's all come back.
Right. And do you remember Gareth Gates? The guy
The winner of Pop Idol.
Do you remember how he sorted out his stutter? Because he had a really bad stutter.
When he sang?
No. He cured it by fucking Katie Price. Because after he finished being with her, he didn't have a stutter anymore. I'm not sure what she did.
But the thing about him was, and this is true, I'm sure that Katie Price was...
For those of you who don't remember Gareth Gates, he was in X Factor or something, wasn't he?
No, the Pop Idol.
Pop Idol
Arrivals, he beat...
Yes, I knew you'd know.
Was he beaten by Will Young?
Yes, it was around...
I was there.
I knew you'd remember that whole period.
But Gareth Gates, though, like a lot of stutterers, never stuttered when he sang.
No, true. But he did stutter when he spoke. But apparently after he shagged Katie Price, that was awesome.
Yeah, he was stunned into lifelong silence. Yeah. He doesn't say anything at all. He's been struck dumb.
No, he actually said it to me because I ran into him once in the garage, I think, in Glasgow, you know, Donald's place. And can't remember who was playing, but he was a sort of VIP guest somewhere. I ended up standing around next to him. And I started talking to him. And he didn't have a stutter at all. And I said to somebody who knew him, I said, "What happened?" And he said, "Well, ever since he's been with Katie Price, he's just disappeared."
Quite interesting. But he singing was his therapy, and he did go through a lot of therapy. But I remember when he was in Pop Idol, as I say, I was at the final and stuff, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
His stutter was, you know, those people who
can't
get the words out.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd have to stand there.
It gets worse the more nervous.
You know,
they
start a sentence, you know, light up a cigarette and wait for him to finish a fucking word, you know.
Well, that's
because
people get nervous, though, and then they stutter more, don't they?
Gareth Gates,
anyway, I wasn't expecting to get into that.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know with this podcast.
Gareth Gates' stutter and fucking Katie Price.
Yeah, because
But to go back to Sunak.
Yeah. He's fucked.
He's on another planet.
No.
This campaign is just ridiculous. It's so bad. You know, and it's so bad, it makes it look as if Keir Starmer's having a good campaign. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Keir Starmer isn't having a good campaign, but by comparison.
I mean, this is the thing, but also it's now gone from, even just before the D-Day debacle a week ago, people were saying, I mean, I was one of them, I was saying, well, I'm pretty sure it won't be as much of a landslide as people are predicting. It's going to be closer. But I don't think it is now. No, I think it's all gone. I think it's all fucking gone down the Swanee.
It's going to be huge, and I don't know. He's like the last man who doesn't realise there's been an earthquake or something. I'm still doing it. I'm not giving up.
Also, did you see the interview you did with Nick Robinson where he insisted, basically, that if you want... here's why you would want to vote Tory. To keep taxes down, except for the fact that they're the highest ever fucking been since the World War. To stop the boats, except he hasn't stopped the fucking boats. You know, to keep the economy on a stable footing, which of course it fucking isn't. I mean, just everything that he said that you should vote the Tories in for, they can't do. And they haven't done.
Nothing shows politicians in a worse light than when they're campaigning for a general election.
Yeah.
They just make complete cunts of themselves.
But they obviously really enjoy it as well, even though they're fucking getting...
Because they're weird.
Because they're fucking weird.
Yeah, but they like being on telly. You know, showbiz for ugly people. Mm. So this is their moment. Keir Starmer. Rishi's second fucking great howler in that interview that he came back
from
Normandy Beach.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, turns out, sorry about that, fucking old guy. Yeah. Yeah, went on for hours. Sorry. fucking memorial. Oh, dear. Anyway, then sits down with him, and Paul Brand, the interviewer, goes, so have you suffered hardship?
Yeah. Did you ever do without anything?
Yes, I did. My parents were immigrants. And he goes, well, what did you have? Did you ever have to do without anything? And he goes, Sky TV. Yeah. It's not exactly the Victorian workhouse.
Well, also everyone's worked out as well that there was no Sky TV until he was a teenager, so he didn't have to do without anything. Also, if you watch the actual original clip, because we had it this morning, it takes a long time to think of something because he's basically going, "Well, Sky of course, TV. You know, we've missed out on lots of things." He's going like, "Well, you know, all sorts of things," and he takes about sort of 3 minutes to find something in his head that he can say that they didn't have.
It's pathetic. It's pathetic the way that someone like him and Starmer that they go searching. I drank hardship in my I was in the workhouse. It was terrible. You know why
does remember Starmer said? Didn't he say that his phone got cut off once?
Yeah. Again, it's the same. Yeah, the family phone got cut off. My family phone got cut off about every 2 weeks. Right. Always. Every time the bill was supposed to be paid.
When I was first working in fucking New York as a freelance, my phone was constantly getting cut off.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
I didn't have fucking money to pay
the
bill.
That's not fucking hardship.
No.
Starvation's hardship.
But this is the thing. Starmer keeps trying to push this bullshit narrative that he's working class. He's not fucking working class. Yeah. His dad was a businessman. And his mother wasn't very well, but he was not working class.
And his dad, he was a tool maker. My dad was a tool maker.
So have you seen pictures of his dad? Yeah. It's a fucking great beard. He looks like something out of the fucking Amish. It's a very weird looking bloke.
My father, Grizzly Adams, was a tool maker.
Yeah, he didn't like me much. Yeah. You know, he didn't
Grizzly Starmer.
Grizzly Starmer. He does. He fucking looks like that.
But so his dad was the boss of about 300 people.
He was. Yeah.
He was the manager.
He was a manager.
He didn't.
I'm sorry. Whatever anybody may think, it's not a working class job.
It wasn't a working class job. His father was symptomatic of my favourite poem, which is the working class can kiss my ass. I've got the foreman's job at last. And that is...
Who wrote that? I don't know,
but whoever it was is a genius. That's Keir Starmer's dad. Mm. He was a manager, not a fucking...
Keir Starmer also went to a grammar school.
Yeah.
He also went, and people say, "Oh, yeah, but it wasn't a fee-paying school when he went there." No, I know that, but he also went to music school, Which was a private music school, you know?
Yeah.
And I think he went on scholarship. But an awful lot of the kids who are going to be prevented from going to private school because their parents can't get them into it anymore are going on scholarships and they're working class kids.
Why don't these people tell the truth? Yeah. Why doesn't...
Because they don't know the truth.
Rishi Sunak went to Westminster School, one of the most exclusive, expensive schools in this country.
Yeah.
I think it's second only to Eton. Yes. Really expensive.
And this is a secondary school, isn't it?
It's in London.
It's like St. Paul's.
George Osborne went there. Yeah. Ed Vasey, James Max of Talk
of this parish.
So you know, rich kids went there. So he cannot even begin to say I was brought up in hardship. So why doesn't he tell the truth? Look,
because do you know what I was going to say? I mean, I'm not in favour necessarily of that sort of type of questioning. Paul Grant knew very well that Rishi Sunak couldn't give him an answer on that question. Mm. He knew that he didn't have any fucking reason to say he was deprived of anything, because he wasn't. But so he was trying to catch him out. I don't think we should be judging politicians on fucking money.
Well,
right?
The thing is...
I just don't think we should.
I get that, but the way to negate that question, so tell us about the hardship, you know, did you ever want for anything, did you ever not have anything when you were a kid, is to answer, the way to negate that question is to answer it honestly.
Yeah.
What he should have said is, look, everybody knows I'm one of the lucky ones.
Yeah.
My dad was my dad was a GP, my mother was a successful pharmacist.
Yeah.
I grew up in very comfortable circumstances, and what I'm trying to do is to try to make sure everyone can grow up
in comfortable. It's not difficult, is it?
It's not a crime to have grown up in a wealthy family, which is exactly what he did. But the fact that he answered it, tried to answer it with a lie, I was very deprived, makes that question work.
It does, because that's why they are so terrified.
Well,
again, you know, we hear this all the time about Keir Starmer. Oh, he's a lawyer, very well practiced. You know, we talked about this on the podcast last week. You know, he was useless in that debate last week. Tonight, we've got another debate, only it's not really
a
debate.
It's not a debate,
because
it's
the people answering questions. But the fact remains that it's incredible how many of these sort of so-called top politicians cannot think on their feet, cannot give an answer which is in any way discernibly fucking sensible by ordinary people. And ordinary people are just going, what's like saying exactly what you just said? Why didn't you just say that? People would have been perfectly happy. You could have said, look, this is why we're trying to level up parts of the economy where people aren't doing so well. Instead of which, he tries to make out that he can be sort of, and then he has that ridiculous laugh, which is always at the wrong time.
Oh,
I mean, you do a great impersonation of it, but he does this stupid laugh and smiles. I mean, he just doesn't know how to fucking talk to people.
But by the way, to go back to that, you know, so during the debate a week or so ago, the defining moment was, this was before Sunak's D-Day disgrace fuck-up.
Yeah. D for disaster.
Yeah, real disgrace. The defining moment of that debate was when Rishi turned on him and said, you're going to put taxes up by £2,000. I don't give a shit whether that's true or not, because...
It actually kind of is true, but it's slightly disingenuous.
These people are all lying through their teeth. They're making promises that mean
nothing. No, it's like, you lied. But, really?
But I'm urging everybody listening to this podcast, and you probably already noticed it, Mike, go back, have a look at that again.
Mm.
At the moment that Sunak says, you're going to put taxes up by £2,000, have a look at Keir Starmer's face. He fucking collapses.
Right.
It's like, nobody briefed me on this.
Yeah.
Nobody briefed me on this.
He doesn't know what
to say. He doesn't know. His face looks like sheer panic.
Ah.
And then he just answers another question.
Yeah.
And the fact that he did not address the £2,000 tax rise made him lose that debate. He should have been able to think on his feet. It's no good afterwards saying, well, he's lying. Well, why didn't you say at the time?
But by the end of the fucking debate, he'd managed to get around to saying, that's garbage. But that was about 15 minutes
later. Yeah,
but
that's not good. You missed the moment.
Yeah.
And these people, I'm sure that all of our knowledgeable audience know this, but these people, Sunaks and the Starmers of this world, even Farage, when they go onto these TV debates, they are... rehearsed and primed to within an inch of their lives. Every question,
I'd actually take Nigel Farage out of that, because Nigel Farage was the only one, I mean, when he went on to that debate of the seven, he said, you know, I'm the only one on here doesn't need an auto cue. because he can talk.
Yeah, he really can.
You know, so he actually is a bit different from them because he can swivel. And if somebody says something he's not expecting, he can give them a fucking answer like we can. It's what we do. You know, he does that job very, very well at GB News. You know, he does a show where he's talking to people all the time. You know, so you've got to think on your feet. These fucking politicians are useless at it. They're good at getting up and making speeches, but they're not very good at actually arguing, which I find amazing.
Yeah, and amazing. Absolutely. And now then all the parties, we've already had the Tory manifesto, we haven't had the Labour yet. I think the Greens came out today, Lib Dems, you know, free everything.
That fucking Ed Davey guy, by the way.
Do you see him?
Sorry, I got something.
Also, somebody said today, can I take issue with some of these political journalists, you know, not one of them out there on the fucking stump, watching him going around in the fucking cozy teacups or on the fucking
water sports,
falling into the fucking water. He did it again today.
Yeah.
Not one of them said, oi, why didn't you fucking sort out the post office scandal? Not one of them's even bringing it up, you know? That's the first question I'm going to give him.
He should be nailed on that day in, day out. Right. But the point is neither the Tories nor Labour particularly give a fuck about him. I mean, he's gonna take Labour seats.
He'll do better than he deserves. Because
paradoxically,
all of this tomfoolery and fooling about fucking kissing around on roller coasters and all the rest of it is actually raising his profile. So people are going, oh, he seems like a fun guy. So they're going to vote for him because they don't know who else to vote for. You know?
Yeah, but he is a vacuous idiot. He really is. Absolutely pointless person.
And also, by his performance during the whole post office scenario, he's worse than that. He's fucking, you know, incompetent. And he fucking ignored many, many people's pleas to sort the thing out when he could have done something about it.
Yeah, and this is probably quite controversial, but he makes this video for the campaign of him looking after his severely disabled kid.
Right.
Now, look, sympathy for him for that.
I'm not
making any jokes about this, but let's face it, what was that? It was him using his kid as an electoral prop.
Yeah.
And pardon me, but I find that uncomfortable.
I think you're right.
David Cameron had a really severely disabled kid. Never used him. Oscar was his name. Never used him. Ed Davey chooses to use his kid.
Yeah.
Up to him, I suppose, but it doesn't make me feel too good about him.
No, I feel the same way as you do. I think it's slightly kind of distasteful.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it really is. Look, vote for me. I'm a caring dad.
Yeah, right. I know all about it.
Jesus Christ, Ed, are you that desperate?
Yeah, I know.
Are you that desperate? Get on a fucking...
That's so many of them.
Fall
are.
Off a fucking canoe, you twat.
But so many of them are. I'm glad you decided to get back to form there. I'm not going to give them a hard time yet, fucking twat. But let's talk about something else, because I can't remember if we did this last week, but I think we certainly talked about Nigel Farage being milkshaked. But your milkshake fucking viral video we have to talk about, because I don't think we talked about this last week.
No, we didn't. No, I think I've only just made it. I recreated.
Because did you make it on Friday?
No, let me think.
Or was it Thursday?
Wednesday or Thursday? Yeah. It might have been Thursday.
Okay.
For anyone who hasn't seen it, Half the Nation seems to have done.
Yeah.
We recreated.
Millions have seen it, right?
Yeah, well, we recreated the banana milkshake moment where my assistant producer, Abby, ran past and hurled banana milkshake into my face, and then I chased after. Anyway, 4 million people have looked at it.
Amazing.
Have watched it.
Could be more than that, actually.
Yeah, I think it's probably more.
Last time I checked, it was 3.9.
When it hit 4 million on Saturday.
Brilliant.
But a lot of people said, oh, it's irresponsible.
Dangerous.
They're saying to me, that could have been battery acid. I said, no, it couldn't. I just bought it at fucking McDonald's.
Right.
You know?
It was a stunt.
Yeah, it was a stunt.
Some other people accused you.
Yeah. People go, that's staged. Right. Really? No shit, Sherlock. No fucking flies on you.
Yeah.
Thousands of people go, that's staged. That's a stunt. Yes, that's right. Mm. Well done.
Yeah.
So we mocked that up and it was very successful.
And it was a one hit wonder, wasn't it? You didn't have to do it like loads of times. That was
No. I said to, because Abby sort of works for me, obviously. Yeah. And she was a little bit perturbed.
She didn't want to do it, right?
Because she was going, I said, look. You've got to do this properly, right? So don't worry about me.
Right.
Just hurl it really hard in my face.
Right.
When she did it, I said, you never do it that hard. Right. No, but see, that's a joke.
Amazing.
No. She really went for it because we knew It's a one-hit wonder. Because you've got to get it all... by the way...
You've got it all over your glasses. I don't even know how you can see to fucking run
over. Really?
It's quite dangerous, though, isn't it?
And then a lot of people said that I ran like a kid who was bullied at school, and they got a good point, because what I actually did was I tried to run slowly so that the camera could pick it up well.
Yes.
But I came across as if there was something wrong with me. Right. It was a really crap running style. But that notwithstanding, it was very successful.
It was very successful.
But it had to be done...
Well, what I'm saying is you didn't have to do it more than one.
No, it had to be done in one. Right. It had to be done in one. Because
she did a great job. Yeah. You should tell that from me.
Yeah.
The other story this week that's been interesting to me is that fucking idiot who runs BBC Sport fucking having a row with Martina Navratilova. And also...
Sharon Davis had my show last night.
Yeah. What a fucking cunt this guy is, right? Decides that he knows more about fucking females and sport than Martina Navratilova, you know, world famous, you know, record-breaking fucking...
Greatest female tennis player of all time.
Probably.
Undoubtedly. Yeah. Undoubtedly.
And Sharon Davis, an incredible fucking athlete, who's done...
Our greatest swimmer.
Yeah, who's done more for the sport of swimming in this country than anybody has ever done. This fucking toe rag... thinks he knows better than them about the trans movement.
Well,
a fucking arsehole.
Well, I had Sharon Davis, who I like a lot, on at my show last
Sharon's
night.
Sharon's great.
On my show last night.
Yeah.
And she was furious on a number of levels. First of all, he said, because he thinks trans women should be able to compete against women.
Twat.
Bullshit.
Right.
He said, if you ban trans women from competing against women, it'll be the equivalent of banning black athletes, you know, Caribbean, Afro-Caribbeans like Usain Bolt and those Ethiopian brilliant runners, be the equivalent of banning them from competing against white athletes. There's no equivalence there. And by the way, in the history of running, yes, Afro-Caribbeans, Africans do tend to be great runners, but there's been a lot of great white runners as well. So that's a load of bullshit. And as Sharon Davis said to me, I mean, in a genuine fit of fury, she just went, "That is racist.
Yeah.
It's racist." You know. So this guy at the BBC.
But it's typical of the kind of person the BBC employs.
Yeah.
Because he's only just recently become the head of sport, isn't he?
Yeah.
Now, if I was running the BBC,
director of sport.
First of all, I would say, hang on, we're going to pick this guy to be director of sport, whatever the fucking title is. What were his views on X, Y, and Z? Let's just have a look at what his views are. And if you said that he had that view, you surely would say, well, I don't think it's a job for you, mate. Yeah,
well, exactly.
Because, you know, you're obviously fucking off your fucking rocker.
Yeah, but you know what this is? It's wokery.
Yeah.
It's virtue signaling. Yeah. It's kind of, trans people, be nice to trans people. This isn't about trans
But it's worse than that, though, because people like him are like the fucking, you know, the trans ideologues who are not just saying be nice to trans people. I don't mind if you're nice to trans people. It's perfect. Be nice to everyone. But what you don't do is punish fucking women as a result of being nice to trans people. Well, that's the argument, isn't it?
But he thinks it's woke and he's being virtue signally by saying, well, trans women should be able to compete against women. No, because it doesn't matter how much of a transition you've been through. It doesn't matter how many chemicals you've pumped yourself full of, how low your testosterone levels are now that you're trans.
How many bollocks you've got.
Yeah.
How many cocks you've got?
Doesn't matter if
your cocks you've had.
It doesn't matter if your bollock count is down to zero. You still retain an element of physical superiority over a biological woman. Therefore, it's not fair.
And you also have a male physical frame, which Sharon Davis often talks about, which is particularly good for swimming quicker than women because of the shape of the fucking skeletal body. You know.
Yeah. So it flat out 100%. Is not fair to allow trans women to compete against women. And what Sharon Davis told me last night that I didn't realise, I said, well, you're off, it's funny enough, she's off to the Olympics to cover the Olympics for the BBC.
When is that starting? July,
a couple of weeks.
After the Euros.
Yeah, I guess it is.
I won't be watching much.
But anyway, I think, about three, 4 weeks, something like that. Anyway, what she told me, I said, well, will there be trans women competing against women at the Olympic Games? She goes, oh, yeah. She said the Olympic board are the worst of the lot.
Really?
So that Olympic Games you watch will be full of trans women competing against women. That is not fucking fair.
No.
That is not the Olympic ideal.
That is ridiculous. They also have the Olympic... Remember, I think it was the last time the Olympics were on, they had the Olympic team of refugees which wasn't a fucking country, right? But they had all these fucking people. Presumably they'll all be in the fucking canoe, will they?
Wasn't that something to do with allowing Russians to compete?
Yeah, no, but they also had this kind of the team for people who were stateless.
Oh, okay.
You know, i.e. refugees from places like Afghanistan.
Shamima Begum.
Like Iran. Yeah, yeah, she'd be good. Sunglasses race.
She's doing the long jump.
Yeah. But yeah,
she's been practicing in the desert. She's good at the sandbox.
Absolutely, you know, holding people down in the sand. That's what she's doing. Wrestling, all that sort of thing. Yeah, so I mean, the Olympics has for a long time not been worth a fucking fag end. I think the last Olympics I watched was a bit of the London Olympics because despite everything that
2012,
everything that I'd kind of in my body and in my fucking soul, I thought I would hate. The opening ceremony, I actually quite enjoyed, you know, because when I heard about it, I thought, this is going to be fucking awful.
Oh, you mean that thing by the film director, wasn't
it?
The guy a bit too much NHS shit.
Danny Boyle?
Yeah, NHS shit.
The NHS shit was a bit daft. But, I mean, the whole spectacle, though, I actually quite liked.
Yeah, and I mean, wasn't expecting. I'm alone in...
I
always think those opening ceremonies are fucking boring.
The closing ceremony was terrible.
I mean, I just think the openings, they're boring. I don't get it. I mean, why...
Did you watch, by the way, the final of the Champions League?
I didn't, actually.
Because that really troubled me, actually, because they had fucking... what's his face? His name, I can't remember, but they had sort of Super Bowl style instead of a halftime show, which they also had.
Yeah.
They had a fucking rock band before the game started, in the middle of the fucking centre circle, and the players were literally waiting to come out. And there was this fucking guy. I can't, what the fuck was his name?
Well, you're gonna get more and more of that in football. I mean, you know, it's all about the razzmatazz. It's the American model. And recently, the Premier League clubs all voted to keep VAR, even though most fans hate it.
Right. Although, aren't Manchester City now going to wreck the Premier League by fucking suing them? How's that going to work?
Well, they already have, I think, and launched legal action.
Well, they have, but so I don't really understand the story, and I don't really understand where it goes.
Well, unless Manchester City are successful in this legal bid to sue the Premier League, it's pretty certain that sooner or later, probably later, Manchester City are going to be found guilty of like grand scale financial.
They might be, but I was wondering as well whether this is just the first step for them to go back and have another go. European Super League.
It's possible. But the point is about that's why Kevin De Bruyne is going to be leaving. That's why Pep Guardiola is going to be. They're all going to leave. Because they fear that Man City will be found guilty. Yeah, well, worse than that, they will get every trophy they've ever won.
Oh, you mean we'll have to have
an asterisk.
Oh shit! Really?
That's what they're worried about. But
do you think that will happen then? Surely, a lot of people say.
I mean, I don't know the details, but a lot of people say it's open and shut.
Yeah.
And the only reason, you know, that thing about don't if you owe the bank a fiver.
Yeah.
They'll make you bankrupt. But if you owe them $5 billion, they'll let you carry on because to make you bankrupt will fuck them up.
Exactly.
So it's a bit like the Premier League and Man City. Premier League's almost frightened of where this case will lead, and that's why they've dragged their heels actually bringing it to the fore to actually consider the case. But to go back to VAR, VAR is great for television. It's part of the television spectacle. Right. So all the clubs vote for VAR because they need the television contracts and the television companies like VAR.
Oh, going all the way back to the Lib Dems here, did you not see that one of their policies is to insist that some Premier League matches must be on terrestrial TV? And I said to this guy, I said, how are you going to make that happen then? Well, I just think it's the right thing to do.
God.
Oh, really? So what? Who's going to stump up the fucking money then, you fucking money?
Yeah, that was ridiculous. It's called commerce.
Right.
You know, football's a business.
I know, and you know, and Wimbledon is only just about the last thing that the BBC can hang on to. I mean, talking of which, that fucking wanker from BBC Sport, he's not in charge of much, is he? They don't really do very much. The FA Cup, Wimbledon, they don't even do the golf anymore. Hey, what about Rory McIlroy?
What the fuck was that about?
Do you know what? I was reading the story this morning.
Bitter divorce. Now they've resolved their differences.
And also there was all sorts of talk about that woman, the TV woman that you're supposed to be shagging, right? So apparently the explanation is that he looked down the list of his 200 million quid and saw that if he did anything to try and fucking, you know, get rid of her, he would have to give all, quite a substantial amount of those millions to lawyers.
You bet.
And I'm told that they haven't reconciled all their differences, but he's going to try and make the marriage work.
His statement says something like...
either you fucking go for it or you don't.
Well, I think his statement says something like, we decided that our best future will be as a family together.
Yeah.
I suspect that he made that decision after long meetings with his accountants.
I'm sure he did.
Rory, this is going to cost you about fucking 20 million, right. Well, 200 million more like.
Well, I mean, he might have had to give her half of it, right? Because I wasn't clear whether there was a prenup.
And
he might have had to give a quarter of it to the fucking lawyers.
Anyway, Rory has looked to his bank account and decided to carry on with the marriage.
What's the bet? Because I think there's a 3-month or a 6-month sort of cooling off period that it still happens, but in 6 months' time. I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Well, he's mercurial with me, old Rory. Don't you remember he was engaged to that woman?
He was, Caroline Wozniacki.
And he called the wedding off the night before it happened, didn't he?
After they already printed all the fucking cards. I mean, people will be listening to this going, what the fuck are you talking about that for? Because I find these kind of stories really is fascinating, you know.
Yeah, maybe he'll ditch his current wife and get himself a new birdie.
See what you
did
there.
And on that hilarious bombshell.
Yeah, we should probably go if you've got proper work to do. Right, we'll see you fuckers.
All right,
another time. See you later.